Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Cutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and this is my last show for the season. I'm really excited to do it, and I'm really excited for a break, to be totally honest with you guys, but I'm bummed out. I'm not going to talk to you for like 4 weeks after today. However, we got a good show for you today. We've got veterinarian and wildlife photographer Yaron Schmid, and he's got a lot of things to say about what's going on in Africa, photography, and all kinds of other good stuff, so let's get started. Yaron, thank you so much for coming in today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here.
I'm so psyched you're here. Usually it's a repeat for the last week, and I like get to talk to someone, so thank you.
I think I'm probably more excited than you are.
That's awesome. So let's just jump right into this then. Okay, so you're really primarily a veterinarian. So how did you get involved in animal medicine?
Okay, well, ever since I was a child, I wanted to become a vet. I always took care of all the strays in the neighborhood. I used to raise snakes and scorpions. And
oh, wow.
You name it. My mom, I think at one point it got to her head, and she says, it's either me or the snakes. I mean, her or the snakes. And I told her, it's obviously the snakes. So she let go, and since then she knew that me and animals go together.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's so nice. My mother never put up with any of that stuff. We could get in like a guinea pig, and that was about it.
Yeah.
So are you still practicing medicine now?
Yes, I am. I work at the Humane Society of New York.
Nice.
It's a low-cost clinic. It's a non-kill shelter, non-profit organization. And we serve people from the tri-state area. It's not just a low cost. We also provide like very high-end medicine.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Mm-hmm.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
And what led you to your work at the Humane Society?
Well, it's funny because I was, when I graduated from vet school in Israel, I went and I worked at a shelter there. It's called the JSPCA. It's like the equivalent, the Jerusalem SPCA.
Yeah.
And I loved the work that we did there, mostly helping strays and ferals. And when I moved to New York, I wanted to find a place like this. And my friend told me about it. And here I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So what do you do at the Humane Society now?
I'm what you would call like a general practitioner. I'm like your regular vet.
Uh-huh.
My title is the director of shelter medicine.
Ooh.
But yeah, sounds impressive. It's even more impressive in real life. I mostly treat dogs and cats, even though in our hospital we treat also exotic animals.
Cool.
We treat sick animals. We take care of adoption animals. We do all the basic stuff that any other place do, like blood tests, vaccinations, x-rays,
cool.
Ultrasounds. And I specifically specialize in ultrasounds, so I do abdominal ultrasounds and heart ultrasounds or echocardiograms. I do that as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I should bring my cat to you. He needs his lungs checked out. Let's do an ECG on him and see if he's okay.
Well, you're welcome.
All right, let's try it. So, the reason I brought you on is because you recently started photographing animals all over the world. How's this been for you?
Oh my God, it's one of the most amazing things that I've ever decided to do. It combines the three big passions that I have, which is photography, animals, and traveling.
Oh.
And last year I went to Alaska, which was quite an amazing trip. And in a few days I'm going to Africa again.
I want your life. I'm so jealous. Like normally guests that come on, I'm like, that's really fascinating. I'm like drooling right now. Like I so want to do what you do. It's so cool.
Well, I want to do what I'm doing too. So
yay,
nice two of us.
So what motivated you to like start photographing wild animals?
Well, I always loved traveling to places that have nature and wildlife. And one of my most passionate place to go to was Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I went in 2011. I went with my son and my girlfriend at that time. We went to Kenya.
Cool.
And it was one of the most amazing trips that you can think of. Now that I've been to Africa many times, I know that how amazing that trip really was.
Mm-hmm.
We saw pretty much everything that you can think of, things that people go 20 times to a safari and they don't see half of the things
kidding.
That we saw. One of the most amazing things that we saw there, which, again, it was like, it's something that I can't even describe. We saw a mother cheetah with her six cubs, and an adult cub. So it's, you see seven cheetahs, and they walked towards our car. They parked themselves in the shade of our car, and they just sat there. And then one of the cheetahs jumped on our roof, the roof of the car. And I don't know if you know, but safari cars, they have open roof.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just jumped on top of the roof and it was facing us like we were like 3 feet apart.
Oh my God.
It was a little nerve-wracking at first. The cheetah was hissing. He was nervous.
Oh,
and
wow.
We were nervous. My son was crying a little bit.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
It was quite an experience. But on that trip, I also noticed that I can predict what the animals are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I played a little game with myself. I tried to predict what the animal's going to do. Mm-hmm. And tried to, if I knew that's going to be something interesting, I tried to capture it in with my camera.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, but it was cool in theory, but practically it wasn't as good. Because when I got home, I actually saw that the pictures that I took were not as amazing as the experience itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went back home. I bought a better camera. I studied. I practiced a lot.
Oh,
and
wow.
My photography improved dramatically. And luckily enough, even though I had very bad pictures from the cheetah experience, 2 years later in Tanzania, two cheetahs climbed on my car.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Some people say that I'm using like a catnip cologne
or
something,
totally.
But no, that's not the case. I was just very, very lucky. And this time they were much, much calm. They sat with us for 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like standing them like 2-3 feet apart, just relaxed.
Wow.
And thank God I knew how to photograph at that time. So I have really nice pictures.
Oh,
and by the way, if someone wants to watch this, it's on YouTube. You can watch it. I took it with my GoPro. I took a video of it. And you can see the cheetah trying to claw at the camera and bite the camera in a playful way.
Oh my God, I want to see this.
It was quite an experience.
That's
really
amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's something that you don't get to see. It's a lot of luck.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
But it's also, too, I mean, you know, the fact that you know animals and stuff, there might be some vibe that you're giving off so that they're not like, oh, God, this guy's going to do bad things.
No, that's true because they can sense, like, some people are very loud in safari. I usually go far away from the crowds.
So I don't blame you.
Yeah. I take a lunchbox with me and I just travel as far as I can. I'm not next to the gate where most tourists are.
Mm-hmm.
So this way you see animals, like, really in their natural habitat without tourists around it. It's a real experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry about your safety when you do that?
Well, again, that first cheetah incident was a little scary because I've never heard of it before and
yeah.
I didn't know how the cheetah... And it's a wild animal. You don't know how it's going to react.
Yeah.
And there have been cases where elephants charged at our car, but it was mostly like just to try and threaten us.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm around animals, I don't feel threatened. Even, I mean, I think I'm more scared of like crazy cats that I have in the office.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I don't know if your cats are nice or not, but I've had some cats like flying and walking on the ceiling and trying to kill me. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll take the cheetah on the roof anytime.
I worked at a vet's office for 4 years, and whenever there was like a crazy cat, it was like, I'll take down a 120-pound pit bull that's
exactly.
trying to bite me over a 9-pound
That's exactly
angry
right.
cat.
Yeah, you cover yourself with gloves
and
towels.
And they don't do anything.
Yeah.
The gloves are a joke. You're like, I got gloves on. He bit right through it. This is awesome. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm with you 100% on that one.
Yeah.
So what are you hoping to accomplish with your photography?
Well, I think that the main goal is like I'm trying to touch people's hearts and try to inspire them to help animal, to raise the awareness to the whole conservation issues.
Yeah.
I think that whoever can donate money should donate money. People can volunteer. Just even spreading the word about animals, I think it's something that people should do. And I'm trying to do it through my photography. I strongly believe that one photo can reach much deeper and reach many more people. Than the words that I will say. So that's how I'm trying to do it.
I agree with that. And like a good animal photo, when you can really see them, and it's almost like you see their soul.
That's,
you know,
yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do on my website. I think that that's one of the things that I say about it. That I do think that I get into the animal soul and I try to relate to the people that watch it.
I mean, your photographs are amazing.
Thank
they
you.
Really, really are.
Thank
and
you.
The level of, I mean, the level of clarity and the color and all that, the technical stuff is beautiful, but you are really, you're catching their spirit. There's something very unusual in your photographs where you're really seeing a moment of communication between the animal and the camera.
Right. That's what I'm trying to. That's what I'm trying to make a difference between me and other photographers is because I'm a veterinarian
yeah.
and I can understand animals better. That's what I'm trying to transmit, I would say, to the people. To I want them to connect this way.
It's definitely, I mean, your photographs are working, and we'll give all your information because I want everyone to see your stuff too.
I want them to, trust me.
We will totally do that. Have you ever been out there and like seen a wounded animal and been like, oh God, I want to help it and I can't, kind of thing?
Oh my God, too many times. I think that the first time it was when I was much younger. I went to the Galapagos Islands.
I love the Galapagos
Have you been?
Islands. Oh my God, they're amazing.
It's amazing. And I've heard that it's much more, it's not as nice these days compared to when I saw it like 20 years
ago.
I'm
sure.
It's like, yeah, you know. But back then, I remember it was a very traumatic incident. I remember seeing two young birds that the mother just came with a big fish, and they were fighting between themselves to get the fish. Mm. And one just killed the other one. And
oh
I just
God.
Wanted to save it. And he, with his beak, he just poked his eyes and he killed him right in front of our eyes. And they were like 2-3 feet away.
Whoa.
And the guide wouldn't let us do anything about it. And it's heartbreaking. And now that I'm a vet and I see these things, it's even more. So I would say that in general, you know, this is nature.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't intervene. But if it's something that I can see that happened because of humans, for example, if you see like a seal with like a plastic on his head or something
God,
like that's something
me.
That I would try to help. But otherwise, yeah. It's not. One of the saddest things that I've seen in Tanzania a year ago was you have the wildebeest migration,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a baby wildebeest still with his umbilical cord hanging. He was just born that day, and he was crossing a lake with his mom,
mm.
and he lost his mom, and he just stayed there in the middle of the lake shivering.
Oh my God.
And all the rest of the herd just continued walking, and I just wanted to help him and direct
yeah.
him to the herd, and he just stood there, and I knew that half an hour later someone's going to eat him.
Ugh.
And we couldn't help him.
Ugh.
So yeah, it can be really heartbreaking sometimes, especially for a vet.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I mean, in nature, you know, so many people are like, nature's like bunnies and rainbows. And it can be, but it can be really
brutal. It's really brutal
too.
Sometimes. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they're not as bad as we are, but they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
They're definitely pretty
yeah.
bad.
No, I agree.
So you've been to Africa a whole bunch of times. What's really going on down there with wild animals?
It's, I think it's what you hear about it in the news. It's probably even worse in real life.
Mm.
I can tell you from my own personal experience. First time that I went to Africa was about 20 years ago. I went to Kenya and Tanzania.
Mm.
And I remember seeing many rhinos and elephants and lions. And in the past few trips that I've had, last one was less than a year ago, I did not see any rhinos. You really, really have
wow.
to work hard to see rhinos. Elephants' numbers are much lower. And you really see the total number of animals is lower. And it's not just Africa. It's anywhere around the world. And it's mostly, I think, due to the illegal hunting
mm-hmm.
and us people pushing the animals from their natural habitat.
It's yeah. I mean, this is the thing. Even here in New York, you know, they keep building and building and building, and so coyotes and deer and that are losing their environment.
Right.
So they just found a coyote on the roof in the Bronx a couple of
right,
weeks ago.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" And it's like you don't get it. They don't have anywhere to live.
And it's not just in theory. I can give you some numbers if you're interested.
Sure.
I think that's the best way to describe and to relate to people exactly what's going on. For example, if we're talking about elephants, and you hear about it a lot in the news. In 1930s, they estimated to have 10 million elephants
Whoa.
In Africa.
Wow.
10 million.
Wow.
You want to guess how many are there these days?
I'm like scared.
It's less than 400,000.
What?
They estimate 100,000 elephants were killed only in the past 3 years. And in 10 years, they estimated to have no elephants at all in the wild, mostly
oh
due
God.
To illegal hunting. So this is how bad it is. I can give you other examples. Lions, for example.
Yeah,
there were like 250,000 lions 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Nowadays, they're less than 30,000.
Wow.
Probably even a lot less than that. I think that the fact that they name lions like Cecil,
yeah,
it just
no
shows
kidding,
how
right?
how little they are.
God.
Like if you call each one like they have a pet name. Same goes for rhinos, that their population dropped to 10,000. And even giraffes, in the past 15 years, giraffes' population dropped by 40%. Like, who kills a giraffe?
That's the thing.
Right?
And it's like, are any of these
Did you
animals,
see that person that was like posting
the
with
woman?
It?
Oh, yeah. My God. I was
yeah.
Oh, my God. And
so
things like
that?
Wrapped around her, like this stole with the whole thing. It's like, there's really,
right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, what I don't understand either is that I don't know this for a fact or not, but I'm assuming these animals are not being used, like they're not being eaten.
Right. Most of them are killed illegally,
yeah.
What's called poaching. They killed them, not just illegally, they killed them in a brutal way. Most of the animals suffer. It's not just the animal that is being killed. That's, you know, they take a rhino and they just saw the it's horn like of the rhino when he's still alive. You see the baby elephants that are like next to their mother after they took the mother's tusks. It's really brutal. That's the worst.
Well, that was like the whole thing with Cecil when, and we're going to talk about him in a minute, but like when, you know, they were so concerned with his death because then all his cubs would be killed.
That's exactly right.
But then supposedly Monroe showed up, the brother.
Right.
Is Monroe alive? Do you know?
They said that he died and it's Jericho.
I'm sorry, and
then they said that he's alive and then he's dead. But the idea is that once Cecil died, his cubs are, you know, up for grabs pretty much. So other lions will definitely come and kill them. So they're going to kill like 15 to 30 cubs. They're all going to die just because of that one shot, that idiot that shot him.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Well, he got lucky with Donald Trump in the media right now because everyone's kind of forgotten about the dentist real quick and are like, who is this crazy man?
He's hiding and he should hide.
He really should.
Yeah.
He
so
really
much for should. His bravery, right?
This is the part that kills me too, you know, is it's like you get the Facebook photographs and like, oh, I'm such a big person. I'm so tough, you know, and there are women that do it too. And then it's like people start reacting to it and most of them run and hide. This one woman is like, bring it on. And
right, yeah. Yeah,
she's amazing because I'm so like, wow, there's really something.
It's just people that like attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, wait, here's one of a dead rhino from 5 years ago. Look, here's another. It's just like, oh, my God, what's wrong with you?
People are not well.
It's interesting, too, how that in many cases is considered, you know, sport and it's OK.
Yeah. What kind of sport is that?
I know.
I just don't get it.
Killing something in cold blood is, I don't understand how that makes you feel like a full human.
Right.
But, you know. This is why you and I will never do this. Thank God.
That's true.
So we got two at least that are to do this. All right. Well, we need to take a quick break for station identification and our sponsors, but we'll be back in a moment. We're talking to Yaron Schmidt all about wildlife and animal photography.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins. I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
And we are back. I'm talking to Yaron Schmidt all about wildlife photography and what's going on all over the world with wild and endangered animals. And before the break, we started talking about sports hunting a little bit and the whole Cecil the Lion case. Some people say that sports hits, blah, 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 sorry. Some people say that sports hunters are really needed in order to keep populations down and keep them in check. What do you think about this?
I think I agree to this in very, very specific circumstances. Only when it's supervised. I think that the better examples that I can give about that are deer and black bear hunting in the Northeast. We drove these animals out of their natural habitats, so they're more cramped in smaller spaces, and you have to keep them in check. This way it's being supervised. It protects the animals, actually, to some extent, because they're not interacting with people, and it saves them from certain diseases, and it allows the coexistence with people. But that's it. I think in Africa, it's a completely different story. We're dealing there with endangered species, threatened species. Sport hunting there actually wipes out the whole animal populations, and that's something that is bad. The whole lion hunting, and today, by the way, I don't know if you know, it's a World Lion Day. Did you know that?
I did, and I put your photograph on my page because it was such a good shot. It was like, we're going to try to get you some donations for that, too.
Thank you. So I think that people that hide behind conservation with the lion hunting, I think that is totally untrue. None of the money gets towards conservation. Mostly it goes to some corrupted hands. As you said before about the cubs, it destroys generations of lions. I don't know if you've heard about it, by the way, but Zimbabwe, after Cecil died, they banned sports hunting in their country.
Oh, you're kidding.
Which is awesome. But
holy
guess what?
Oh, no.
They just lifted the ban like a couple
what?
Days ago. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Awesome.
That shows you like who you're dealing with. It's all corruption and the whole, I don't know if you know about the petting cubs in Africa, that they raise them in farms so tourists can pay money to pet them, and then eventually they hunt them once they're older.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so sport hunting in Africa is something I'm totally against, and there's no justification for that.
So they're basically like taming the animals when they're young, so they have no fear of people. So it's like, hi, Fred,
yeah, bang! And you make money off the tourists that photograph with these animals, and once they're bigger enough and you can't pet them anymore, they just release them and they do the canned hunting.
Oh, my God.
And they, yeah. That's lovely, right?
It's really psychotic, you know?
It's beyond psychotic.
It's really, like, it's just unbelievable that this seems like a good idea to some people, you know? And it's like, I heard that, like, for example, the normal tag or the normal price tag to go kill one of these animals or a lion is $50,000.
Right.
Do you have any idea where that money goes?
Yeah, the money definitely doesn't go towards conservation. Yeah. The money goes mostly to farmers that raise these, to political people that, you know, they give you fake permits to hunt. And so it definitely doesn't go towards the animals. If you want to, and people that hide behind the conservation hunting, if they want to give money, they should just give it directly to conservation without killing. I mean, if you want to shoot someone, go shoot it in a shooting range.
Seriously. And do you know off the top of your head, like, any conservation organizations in Africa that are reputable?
Oh, there are quite a few. Actually, if you go to my website, under the join section, you're going to see a lot of places where you can help.
Awesome.
A lot of organizations, cheetahs, leopards, elephants, rhinos, you can find them all on my website.
Okay, cool.
And I'll give you the information later.
Cool. Yeah, and it's like, you know, the thing with Tinder, and like everybody was taking tiger selfies because, you know, it's so macho. And so now the tiger selfies are illegal on Tinder, at least in New York.
Yeah.
You know, and I have seen a few, I have to admit. But it's just such an odd thing to be like, you know, oh, look, it's a tiger. Let's take our picture with it.
Yeah,
how do you not know this?
They're drugged
out of their mind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I just saw a photograph of this guy lying on top of a tiger.
Yeah.
Thing's not conscious. There's no way.
Some brave guy, right?
Right? Very macho.
Yeah.
He's a very cool guy. I know. I want to get to know him. So one of my biggest concerns about these populations that are plummeting are ecological. And so what do you think all this hunting is going to bring?
I think that eventually, you know, a lot of the animal population will just be wiped out. And it's just not affecting, like, certain animals. It affects the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
Once you kill a certain animal, it kills all the animals that are related to that. There's this story that I wrote on my website about an incident in China in the 1950s that I think best describes what happens with like when a species goes extinct. Mm-hmm. They decided that crops were not raised properly, and it's all due to this bird, the sparrow.
Oh, come on.
So they actually made it legal to kill all the sparrows, and they gave incentives to farmers to kill all the sparrows. And that's what they did. And the whole sparrow species was extinct in China. A year later, they had a huge plague of locusts, and that ruined all their crops. And then 30 million people died from starvation
because of that.
And it's just one species that was extinct.
Wow.
So we can imagine what happens when, you know, it's more than that.
Wow.
Everything and everyone is like, we're all interconnected. Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's something that sounds like so like, you know, new age and like fancy, but it's true. It really, really is true. And I mean, that's, I'm shocked at that example.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, people are crazy.
That's true too. So, as of last Wednesday, over 120 animals all over, or 120 animal species all over the world have become extinct in the past 50 years. In your opinion, do you think this is all humans?
Absolutely, it's 99.9% humans. We drive the animals out of their natural habitat, so they're limited in their space, and then all the industrialization of the world that caused the global warming, the illegal hunting. That's, again, we just gave the examples of the elephants from 10 million to less than 400,000. That's all from humans killing them. So absolutely, yeah.
God, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are we doing? And so we talked a little bit about it before, about extincting a species and how badly it can affect the environment. And so, like, with the 120 species that we are aware of that are dead right now, it'd be interesting to find out, like, what the changes are. But I think with industrialism going as quickly as it is, it's a tough thing to judge.
Yes.
You know, especially when, you know, simple things like when some wind turbines are attracting birds and killing them. It's like,
right.
You know.
I mean, you never know how, like, we can guess, but, and that's why I think that sometimes the numbers that we estimate of, like, the animal population could be much lower than what we really think that they are.
Yeah.
And when we're going to wake up, it's going to be too late.
That's the thing. And it's like, I mean, how do you go and count 400,000 elephants?
Right. Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So it's.
So there are some organizations that try to deal with that. For example, Cecil had a tag around his neck, research, but you see what happened. So
it's like, that one's special. It's got a necklace. Let's kill it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unreal. I know that sports hunting brings in money, like we were saying, about $50,000 per lion. Do you think that this amount helps anybody? I mean,
no, I don't think that. First of all, most of the money goes to the wrong people.
Yeah.
And second, I think that the money just, I think that they will make much more money from tourists and that will come to watch the animals in a safari than from a few hunters that pay to kill the animals, and eventually they're going to have no animals left.
The thought of it being like, you have to go to a zoo to go see like an elephant. That kills me.
That's sad.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and this could happen. I mean, some of our elephants that are 80 years old in zoos could outlive this 10-year-old elephant that's living in Africa because he just doesn't have a chance in hell.
So I think that the way to approach it is by, and that's a more global thing. It's not just something that individual to, it's to teach the people in Africa the value of conservation, the ignorance and the poverty there is probably the root of all the problems there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think once we deal with the poor people and teach them and educate them, I think that that's gonna help resolving this problem.
Like, what is I know this is a real stereotype, okay, but we're going for it. Like, typical African, do they like these animals?
No, the animals are bad. They're trying to raise their cattle, and the lions come and they, because we push the lions out of their land, so they try to come to the farmers and they kill their cattle. Mm-hmm. So they don't like them. And about poaching, a farmer makes X amount of money when he works in the field, and he's going to make a lot more if he kills an elephant. And so the key to that, again, it's the Western world and everywhere in the world. If we're going to stop buying this stuff, if we're going to stop hunting, if we're going to start hanging my pictures and not animals' heads on in the living room, then we'll resolve this.
Totally. And I understand, I mean, I understand it looking at the other side, too. I mean, if you're poor as dirt and you're making pennies every day and someone comes up to you and goes, hey, if you kill that, I'll give you enough money to live for the rest of your life.
Right. It's totally, very tempting.
I totally get it.
Right.
You know, especially if there's no education behind it. And so it would be nice to have more programs created that involve the locals that are down there that are dealing with all this,
right.
You know?
I totally agree. I think that we first have to focus on ourselves. We have to deal with that too, but I think we have to focus on ourselves. So for example, about trophy hunters, which most of them are Americans, we have to do the proper legislation to ban trophy hunting, like importing it to the States.
Yeah.
What the airlines did to, some airlines did to ban this, that's just a small step. But if legally it's going to be illegal, then that's going to resolve this.
It, the thing though that I'm wondering about is, you know, all these commercial airlines that have like jumped on and they're like, we're going to forbid sports hunting trophies. Do you think this is going to do anything? Do you think it'll reduce the amount of kills?
No, because the people that can afford killing a lion, they probably have their private jets and they can
thank you.
Yeah.
I had this discussion yesterday and it was like, no, it's going to stop in its tracks.
It's not
like, going to
stop.
Bullshit.
Only legislation, proper legislation. I think that's the...
I mean, or I could see it being like, you know, oh, we'll smuggle it into Canada and drive it down, or Mexico, or, you know, somewhere, just some other way to do this. So what do you think drives people to trophy hunt?
I honestly don't get that. I mean, you can probably ask Walter Palmer if you're going to find him, wherever he's hiding, but I really don't get it. Some people get a kick out of, like, killing an innocent, helpless animal. I just don't, they think it like it's a macho thing, or it's like, I just don't get it.
Especially when you're going after, like, you know, these large, large animals. I mean, granted, any of the animals we've discussed can kill you pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But they're also not like lunging at you when you're killing them.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you've got a scope on your rifle and you're a mile away and it's like, ooh, big man.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
Let's see you hunting them like bare bare hands.
Yeah, let's like hand to hand combat with a knife.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll watch that. Yeah. I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's really, really crazy to see this kind of thing. And like when I was a child, my father used to hunt buffalo.
Oh.
And that stopped when he came home with a skull when I was about five. I totally lost my mind and screamed at him for weeks and he didn't hunt for 20 years. So that was my contribution. But like buffalo are like shooting like a dog in a field.
Yeah.
I don't understand the sport. And it's the same with these animals. When they're grazing and they're just going on along their day, it's just like a serial killer coming up.
It's exactly what it is.
And the other thing that amazes me, too, is that they'll actually shoot them in the head, because you would think that would affect, like, the look and the taxidermy and, you know, oh, there's a flaw now kind of thing, you know? It's really crazy.
Yeah.
And do you ever think trophy hunting will ever be made completely illegal?
I'm optimistic, so I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's something that's the only way for it to become illegal is through the proper legislation.
Yeah.
And each and every one of us can contribute in our own way, either by donating to certain organizations or talking to your congressman and things like that. That's the only way to stop it. And I'm optimistic. I hope we're not going to be too late when we actually do it.
I hope so too. I mean, I really hope so too. This is the type of topic that any kind of extinction or like endangered animals, it really freaks me out.
Yeah, 10 years there aren't going to be no elephants. It's something that's beyond. Yeah, you can't grasp that.
And it's something, you know, with like 20 years from now with like some little kid like, were there really elephants?
Exactly.
It's like, well, yeah, at some time.
Sad.
It's like the dodo, you know, and everyone's like, it never existed. It's like, it did.
Yeah.
There were a lot of them.
Sad.
So what else can we do as a normal human being to like help this out? I mean, if we contact the Congress people, will they listen to us?
Well, I'm sure that if all of us will,
true.
Or if many of us will, then they sure will. They'll have to if they want to be reelected. And that's
true.
The power that's the only things that we have in our power. People that have the funds should donate the money to the right organizations. Even, you know, I think National Geographic have this campaign about the lions now. It's a Lion Day. They have five for big cats. So you just donate $5. But if any one of us will donate $5, it all adds up. So by talking about it, even what we're doing now, or people sharing the stories about Cecil in the, on Facebook. All of these things, they eventually, they help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will. And so where can people see your work?
So right now, the best place and the to see my work is on my website, and it's www.yswildlifephotography.com.
Cool.
And I'm sure you have the information here in the station if someone wants to find out. And I'm right now negotiating in a few places that I'm actually going to present my art.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'll keep you posted as soon.
Please.
Yeah, you can find out on my website in the next few days.
Yeah, totally. I'll put it on the Animal Instinct page, too.
Oh, that would be great. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and I want to see your stuff in person. I mean, I've seen the photographs on your website, and I want to see them. They're beautiful.
Thank you. I even donate some of my profits to certain organizations today. I'm donating some of the money to a Lion organization. Again, I'm doing what I can to contribute.
And that photograph's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Oh my God, it's so pretty. And thank of you. Course, a friend of mine was like, is that Cecil? It's like, yes, it's Cecil. If that'll work, that's Cecil, totally. Cecil's brother, you
yeah.
know? And so, sadly, we're running out of time. This stinks because I really could talk to you for hours. I know. I'm fascinated by this whole thing. Where would you send people to learn more about this subject, to learn more about you?
So if you go to my website, again, in the join section, you have a lot of organizations that have like great material to read. And it's also listing some things that people can do in order to contribute. And you have some information about me and my work. And I'll be happy if you're going to go and visit there.
Oh, totally. And, you know, thank you so much for coming all the way out to Bushwick, to Roberta's,
thank
our
you for
lovely
having me.
Home here. And I am just thrilled that we've got another season under our belt. I want to thank my engineer, Liz, who is amazing and takes good care of me. She does all this good stuff, makes me sound fantastic. So, Liz, I love you. Thank you so much. Heritage Radio Network, thank you so much for letting me do this show. Roberta's, you guys are awesome. Always good to grab a slice or a pie after the show. Thank you for letting us be here. I will be back September 14th with a brand new show. Until then, we got tons of stuff on iTunes, tons of stuff on Stitcher. I think this is my episode number 68, so you got a lot of choices. But thank you again for listening, and I will talk to you guys in September. So take care.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.